And so if you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 27. I've got a lot of scripture, probably not going to read all the scripture. I will reference it. But Psalms 27, verses 13 and 14, it'll be the main scripture that we go, and then we'll pull some other things out and see where the Holy Spirit wants to take us. But Psalms 27, verse 13, he says, this is David speaking, he said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father, just thank you this morning. Thank you for this time, God. Lord, I thank you for this message that you just kind of, I don't want to say gave it to me out of nowhere, but it was unexpected, God. But I'm glad that when we're not expecting, you're always ready to show up and show out. So just let me preach this message the way that you've given it to me. Let it be your anointing. Let it be your Holy Spirit. And in all things, may you get the glory. I just give you the honor and the praise and the glory. In Jesus' my name I pray. Amen. So I preached a message last year sometime. The name of that message was, Don't Wait Too Long. The title of the message today is, Wait on the Lord. David said, wait on the Lord. That's how he starts the verse. Then he says, be of good heart, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That word, wait, in the Hebrew is quavah, Q-A-V-A-H. It means actively waiting with hope and trust in God, anticipating his intervention and provision. And I began to think, and I was kind of telling Steve this morning a little bit about what inspired and sparked this message. Like I said, I was talking to one of my customers, and you know, we were talking about, you know, why we had moved to Morgan County, and I was like, well, you know, it was respectively for the school system and everything like that. And she was like, well, that's why they had originally moved, but then God called them to homeschool, so they homeschool their kids. And I was like, you know, that's great. No, I said, but you know, I said, where I'm here now. I said, if I look back on how it started, how we made it here, I said, I can see God's hand in every step of the process. And I said, what I mean is this. I said, we lived close to Augusta. I said, I was training to be a restaurant manager. I said, the training went by quickly. I said, and I was training for a restaurant in Milledgeville. I was like, my wife's mom and stepdad live in Milledgeville. I did not realize that Milledgeville was like a college town and there was not going to be many options to rent or have a place to live when we moved. So we moved here. We had already had Josiah. Emily was about 6 months pregnant. There was 3.5 of us in a little room. And then about three or four months after we moved here, there was 4 of us in a little room, and we were cramped. And like, I mean, I was just before saying, my mom still has a big, huge house in Renz. I'll just quit this job. I'll go get another restaurant job. We can go live with them in the big, huge house. Everybody will have their own room and everything like that. And I mean, I was ready to give up, but I was like, Lord, I know you brought me here for a reason. I know you put us here for a reason. And I know that, like, you are going to open a door, God. I know you are. And so we're waiting, we're looking, we're trying to find a place, but we're still waiting. We're still driving to church from Millersville to here. We're still waiting. And her mom just happened to go in to Kroger and just happened to run into a lady that they had known. They had worked with, they had done some work for, they had done some catering for and stuff like that. And the lady out of nowhere was just like, hey, it's good to see you. Hey, my son just moved out of our lake house. We don't want to move in it. We want to rent it out. Do you know anybody who wants to rent it? And she was like, well, yeah, maybe. And so she told Emily about it. And Emily called me and she was like, what do you think about, yes, we will rent it. She was like, you haven't even seen it yet. I said, I don't care. We have got to have more room. And I said, you know, just when I was ready to give up, just ready when I was ready to cave in, just when I was ready to quit, I was like, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I know that you're gonna make a way. So we get moved into that house. And I loved it. If you would ask Emily, like, I would still have us cramped in that little two-bedroom house if I could, because I loved it. It was just peaceful, serene, on the water and everything like that. But about 6 months to a year after we moved in, the boys had gotten bigger. We had kind of already outgrown that house. So we wound up staying there for about 2.5-3 years. Well, the same lady that we were in that house from, she had a bigger house less than a mile from us. And I was like, look, we got to do something. I was like, because we're kicking our way in and kicking our way out. And it's not because the house is dirty. It's because it's too small and we don't have any more room to grow in this house. And so, I mean, I was like, we'll just have to do something. And I was like, Lord, I need you to open a door because I don't know what we're going to do, but we're bumping into each other in this house and, you know, we've outgrown it. And she called Emily one day. She was like, look, I just have a bigger house around the corner. Just came open. I was going to give y'all first dibs. I'll just transfer your deposit. I won't raise your rent or anything like that, but this will be a bigger house. I know y'all have, your boys have gotten bigger. I know you need more room. I know that this would be good for y'all. And so she called me and she was like, hey, such and such called me. They got this. Yes, absolutely. She's like, you have not even seen it yet. I said, I don't care. My prayer was, God, we need a bigger place. We need more room. But I don't want to be afraid when a door opens. Just because I haven't seen yet, if I feel like it was him opening the door, I don't want to be afraid to walk through the door. So that was like in October of like 2018 when we moved to the house. We've been trying to get to Madison. I worked in Athens. Josiah was already going to pre-K in Madison, so I was driving from Eatonton to drop him off at pre-K to Athens. Emily was having to come pick him up, and then I was driving back to Eatonton at night, and I was a restaurant manager then, so I was getting home at like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. And so, this just how God works. We hadn't seen these people or talked to these people in a while, but they were the people that had done the catering and decorating for mine and Emily's wedding. And she, the one of the ladies just happened to marry a gentleman who owns a construction and remodeling business. He also buys rental properties and gets rental properties set up. So I was telling her, I said, I'm just driving back and forth to Athens. It's too much every day. 1 hour and 15 minutes one way, 1 hour and 15 minutes the other way. I was like, you know, we got to find something closer. We were looking all over. We were in church one Sunday. And I was like, Lord, you know where our heart is. Our heart's in Madison. Our church is in Madison. My job's in Athens. We've got a lot of driving to do. Every Sunday, it's 40 minutes from our house to church. And, you know, that drive didn't really bother me. I was coming to church. I was, you know, happy. But I was just like, Lord, I need you to open the door. I don't care how long it takes. I'm not giving you a deadline, but you know, he could go to the pre-K here because it's private, but when he's ready to start school, he won't then to start school in Morgan County. I'm putting it in your hands. So one Sunday, this was like the beginning of February, we just got done with praise and worship, going through the Psalms. Church hadn't even started yet, and we were back in the back, and we were getting ready to pray, and Emily comes running back there. She was like, I just got a message. I was like, from who? She was like, from Lauren. I was like, what's going on? She was like, well, she messaged me because there's this house, like two houses down from where they live, that they had been trying to buy for like 3 years. Well, all the stuff finally came through. They bought the house. They just went in. The only thing that's original in the house is the floors and the toilets in the bathroom. They've put brand new countertops. They put brand new appliances. They've moved walls and painted, and there's a new air conditioner, and they've done all this new stuff. And they just drilled a brand new well for it. It's got a brand new well, and it'll be ready to go at the end of the month. And she said, before I offered it to anyone else, I wanted to offer it to you. And this is what we need you to do to get in. And it just happened to be at a perfect time where we had everything that we needed to get able to get into the house, be able to do what we needed to do, because we waited on the Lord.
Amen.
I was telling Mr. Steve this morning, I said, I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe you can work hard and you can open doors. But the Bible tells me that God, he said, I shut a door that no man can open. And he said, behold, I open a door that no man can shut. And so I begin to think about people in the Bible who waited on the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, it said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. But you have to wait. And that kind of waiting is not just a wallow around and murmuring and crying. It's not the kind of waiting where we're the spoiled kid with our thumb in our mouth sitting in the corner and throwing a temper tantrum. That kind of waiting is an expectant waiting. It requires us to participate. It requires us to be a part. It requires us to do our part. Obedience is our job. Outcome is God's job. As a matter of fact, the prophet Samuel told Saul, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. So in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 8, I'm not going to read it. I'll just kind of break it down. David and his men, they just come back from not being able to go into battle. Ziklag is burned to the ground. His men are ready to kill him. His men are ready to take him out. His men are ready to stone him. They've cried. They've come back. Everything's gone. Their women are gone. Their children are gone. Everything's gone. Their village is burned to the ground. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then, and only then, did he begin to seek God. And then, and only then, did he begin to ask God, can I pursue? Can I overtake? And then he didn't just go and do it. No, he waited on the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm asking you, can I do this? I'm not going to go do it. Because if I try to do it in my own strength, I won't be able to make it. The Bible says that it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He said, God, I need you to be with me. I need to have your word. I need to wait on you. And I can't move without you. And the Bible says that when he got the ephod and he began to inquire upon the Lord, that he waited. And he waited. And the Bible says that the Lord spoke to him and said, you shall pursue and you shall overtake. And you shall surely recover all without fail. Because he waited on an answer from the Lord. How many times have we said, well, I'm praying about something, and before we get the answer from God, before we really get the answer from God, we either, he didn't answer me in 5 minutes, or we stop praying about it, or we go and do exactly what we want to do. And he was going to tell you no. He was going to tell you to wait 6 months, but you went and jumped in it anyway. And now everything got turned upside down. Your world got turned upside down because you did not wait. Another example, David was anointed king when he was 16 years old. But he waited and he waited and he waited and he waited. He was about 31 to 32 years old before he was finally the king. He waited like 15 to 16 years before he was actually took the throne as the king. But he waited on God, and God got him ready, and God showed him how to be a leader, and God got some stuff out of his heart, and God got some rebellion out of him, and God took him through a process to get things out of him so that he could be the king he needed to be when it was time for him to take the throne. Wait on the Lord. You know, I was thinking about waiting. And I'm not a very, very, very patient person. I try to be, but I'm like, I have Amazon Prime, so most of the time when I order stuff, it's going to be at my house like the next day or the day after. Or if it's going to take too long, then I'll just go find a store that has it so I can have it right now. And you know, I've done that sometimes, and I was like, I get it, and I'm like, I could have waited. You know, it wasn't that big of a deal. I didn't need it right then. You know, I was thinking about this message, and I said that we live in a culture that wants everything to happen right now. They are the microwave, air fryer, Snapchat, Instagram generation. And we serve a great God who is trying to develop us in his image. And that is not a fast process, but it is a lasting one. You know, I remember when I was a kid, we would go get those little disposable cameras and you take your pictures and then you have to go and drop it off at Walmart or Kmart or whoever had a photo center, and you had to wait for them to be developed. And I remember when I got my first phone that took pictures, and they put those little kiosks up at Walmart and you could go plug your phone in. I got the picture faster, but the quality was not as good as the one where I took it in and somebody who knew what they were doing, who was a photographer, photo developer, who was a master at it, knew what they were doing, developing the photo and giving it the proper amount of time so it could develop and the picture could be exactly what it was supposed to be, and it was clear and it wasn't pixelated and it wasn't distorted, but it was a beautiful, beautiful picture. That's the kind of God that we serve. He said, I'm painting a masterpiece. He said, your life is a masterpiece, and I'm trying to paint it. And if I do it too quick, then it's going to be smudges here. It's going to be smears there. And it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. But if you give me time and you let me do it, if you'll wait on me to do it in my time, if you'll wait on me to do it in my perfect timing, it will be exactly what I want it to be. I began to think about Joseph. You know, all he did was tell his brothers a dream that he had, and they didn't like that. And then he gets thrown in a pit. And they were going to kill him. And they said, no, just leave him in the pit. And then some people came by. He sold them. So they sold him to the people. Then they go to Egypt and sell him. And he ends up in Potiphar's house. And even though he was in prison, he had favor because he had God with him. And even though a lie was told about him because he met Potiphar's wife, Potiphar, and she accused him of something he didn't do, and he got thrown in jail, God was still with him. And even though he told the dream to the baker and to the cupbearer, and they were supposed to remember him, he was in there for like 14 years before he finally got his shot in front of Pharaoh. Because God had to develop him and let him know, it wasn't you. I mean, I've anointed you, but I could have did this for anybody else. I'm trying to show you. It was never for you to lord over anybody. It was never for you to be the king over anybody. It was never for you to hold your gifts and your talents over anybody. I gave you this so that you could serve people, so that you could be somebody that could call my people who were in a famine. You called them and I gave them a new land and they had everything that they needed. But I needed you here, and I needed to get your pride out of you. I needed to get your thinking out of you. I needed to get the immaturity out of you, and I needed you to mature. So when you saw your brothers, you didn't want to kill them. You said, here this is. Let me see my new brother, and is my father still alive? Wait on the Lord. You know, one of the greatest person in the Bible, Jesus, he waited 30 years before he even started his ministry. We see him as a baby. We see him again when he's 12 years old. And then he kind of disappears until he's 30. And when he comes in at 30, he's mission-minded. He said, I'm about my Father's business. Because he knew he had a work to do. You know, sometimes we want to move in our haste. In Isaiah 63, the children of Israel, the armies of Israel, they're standing at attention. They're waiting on a word from the Lord because they're getting ready to go into Edom. They're getting ready to go into battle. And they're waiting on a word from the Lord. Me and I was talking to Pastor about this on Wednesday. I said, I heard a pastor who had talked about while they were waiting. It talked about how heavy their armor and their spears and their swords were. They're standing in the desert sun, in the Middle Eastern sun. They're wearing about 115 to 120 pounds of gear and armor. And they're just waiting on a word from the Lord. They're waiting on the Lord to speak to Isaiah and Isaiah to speak to the army to give them a word so that they can go into battle. And the word of God says in Isaiah 63, he said, who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. While they're waiting on a word from the Lord, he had already gone before them, and he had already fought the battle for them. He had already won the battle for them. Sometimes you're waiting on God to give you the word to fight, and he said, I just need you to stand still. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, it said, after you have done all that you can do, stand and stand therefore. And then they were just standing and waiting for the word. And God said, I've already gone before you. That's one of the times where Jesus shows up in the New Testament, because he said, I who speak am righteousness and mighty to save. The only one that can save is Jesus. And he showed up and said, I've gone before you. I went into your future and I took care of some things that you didn't know that you were going to need me to take care of. I moved some things out of the way that you didn't know you were going to need because you waited. You know, I begin to look back over my life, and in the very moments, you don't always know when it is God. And sometimes when you're going through, you know, even there's a few examples in the Bible where, like, they waited and waited and waited. Abraham waited 25 years before his promised son ever came. And even though he tried to move it along on his own, he caused a whole world of trouble because he tried to do it in his own time and in his own strength. But he said he waited 25 years for his promise, and he finally got it. And Joseph waited. And David waited. Hannah, one of the best people that in Samuel, she waited. She had been teased by the other woman because she couldn't have children, but she begged and she pleaded and she said, God, whenever you want to, please bless me. And she waited. And when she got her blessing, the very thing that she told God that she would do with her blessing, she did with it. In the beginning of the New Testament, there's a person named Simeon and Anna, and they waited and waited and waited, and when they waited and they were promised that they would see the birth of Jesus, and they waited on the Lord and they got to see his birth. If you will wait, man, I know it's not always easy. I tell you myself, I'll say it again, waiting is not my best thing. Patience is not one of the fruits of the Spirit that I'm good at, but he's developing me and he's showing me. But sometimes, man, if we want it to be everything that we want it to be, wait. I heard a guy say one time that he had went out to dinner with his family, and they ordered their meal, and he had made some special instructions and needed some things, and he wanted it this way and wanted it that way. And so the food comes out for everybody but him. And instead of giving him time to get angry or anything like that, the person who had taken his order came to him and said, look, sir, the chef is taking extra special care of you. You wanted it this way, and this way, and that way, and he wants it to be perfect. So you're going to have to wait a little bit longer if you want it to be exactly what it's supposed to be. Sometimes we want it too soon, and then when we get it, we don't know how to handle it. When we get it, it's not as good as we thought it was going to be. When we get it, it's not at all what we thought it was going to be. But if we would have waited and let God develop us, if we would have waited and let him get some pride out of us, if we would have waited and let him mature us, if we would have waited and let him do it the way that he wanted to do, not the way that we wanted him to do, it would have been exactly what it was supposed to be. You know, I look over my life, and I was talking to the same lady that I was telling the story about how God opened the doors for us with the houses and stuff like that. I said, the Bible does not say this. I said, but this is what I think. I was like, and if you think that I'm just some heretic, lunatic, you just stop me. But this is what I think. This is how I feel. I said, when I get to heaven, I said, this is probably one of the things that I'm most excited about. I said, I get to heaven and I stand before Almighty God. And I said, I feel like he's going to show me a highlight reel of my life. And it's not going to be a highlight reel of the times when I knew it was him. It's going to be a highlight reel of the times when I didn't even know I needed it to be him. When there was something ahead of me that I didn't know him to, that I didn't know I needed him to move, and he moved it. When there was something that was trying to come against me, but he moved it before it even got near my dwelling. When there was someone or something that was coming to try and discourage me, and he moved him out the way. And when there's also things where I've always wondered, was it God? I wasn't sure. And he's going to make it plain and simple. Yes, it was me in that time. You might have thought it was me. I didn't choose to reveal myself, because he's not the kind of God that needs to boast or needs to brag, because he's God and God all by himself, that there's none before him, there's none beside him, and there's none like him, that he's the one and only, so he don't always need to say, ta-da, here I am. But I want to see the times when I thought it was him. I'm waiting because I want to see. God, was that you? I thought it was you, but I wasn't 100% sure. I wanted it to be you, God. I don't want it to be myself. I don't want it to be my imagination. I want it to be you. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. You know, I always have these thoughts come to my head. And this thought was come to me. It said throughout the scripture, the word of God calls us to wait. This does not mean to sit on your hands and do nothing. This type of waiting is very active and requires our full participation. We should be expectant while we wait. We should worship while we wait. And we should continue to do all that God has called us to do while we wait.
Amen.
I'll finish with this. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, Daniel has got a vision, and he's prayed to the Lord to get this answer to his vision. The Bible says that Daniel prayed. It says that he fasted. He took no good meat. He didn't drink any wine. He didn't put anything of substance in his body for 21 days while he was waiting on an answer for the Lord. A lot of us would give up 21 minutes after we pray for an answer from the Lord. Some of us, 21 seconds after we get an answer from the Lord. We got to give God some turnaround time, y'all. We can't just expect to pray about it on Monday morning, and by Monday evening, the house is paid off, the car is paid off, and there's the magical fairy Harry Potter style. He just waved a wand, and it was all done. No, give God some time to work. Give him some time to do what he had to do. So the Bible says, it said, on the 24th day, an angel appeared to him and said, God heard you the very first time that you prayed. He heard you the very first time the words left your mouth. He said, and I was coming down because there's a great gulf between the heavenlies and the earth. He said, but the king of Persia warred with me between that gulf. So much so that I had to call Michael, one of the strongest angels, to come and fight with me. And we fought for 21 days to get to you and bring this word. And if you would have given up, the fight wouldn't have been worth it. If you would not have waited, then we would have came down here for nothing. But because you waited, we fought. We fought the good fight. We fought the king of Persia and his armies. And we got here to give you the word to let you know everything is going to be all right. But we have to wait. We have to be patient. We have to be willing to say, Lord, I have a timetable, but I know that everything works out in your perfect timing. The Bible tells me that he knows the end from the beginning, that he is the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith, that he is the one who is writing my story. He knows how my story is supposed to go. He knows how my story is supposed to be. He knows where the plot is. He knows where the climax is. He knows where the surprise parts are. He knows that all. So if I would just wait instead of trying to write my own story, let me live the story that he has written so beautifully for me. Because I promise you, he's an author of perfection. He's an author who knows where it's supposed to be, when it's supposed to happen, and how it's supposed to happen. But it's up to us to wait.
Amen.
And that's not always easy. But he's not asking us to sit on our hands and wait. He's not asking us to go sit on the couch and eat potato chips and wait. No, keep worshiping me while you wait. Keep inquiring upon me while you wait. Keep asking. We don't bother, I promise you, we don't bother him when we ask. The Bible says, to ask and it shall be given. If you read it in the Amplified Version, it says, to ask and keep on asking. To knock and keep on knocking. To seek and keep on seeking. He didn't mean for you just to pray about it one time. If you pray about it 100 times a day, he hears it. The Bible says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we can't just say, God, I'm praying about it one time and I really need you. No, if we want to get his attention, we got to say, Lord, here I am. I know I prayed about it 30 minutes ago, but God, you know what I'm going through. And I know that you're good. And I know that you're God. I'm being patient, God, but I want to let you know, this is what I need. We think, sometimes I think we feel like as Christians that we just write God a Christmas list and we give it to him and say, here you go, get the toys you can afford to get, and you know, everything else we'll just do on our own. No. He's a good God. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from him.
Amen.
But we got to do our part. We got to wait. We got to pray. We have to fast. We have to worship. We have to inquire. We have to seek. You know, I learned that. How I got my wife's attention. It won't just to say, hey, one time. Every time I saw her, hey, how you doing? Every time I got the chance, text her. She probably thought I was a stalker when we first started texting back and forth. But I knew she was the one. My mama was here right now, the first time I saw her, I said, I'm going to marry that girl one day. And I did. And I waited patiently. But I made my request known. Hey, you're beautiful. I love you. I think the world of you. She's not here, so I can't embarrass her. But wait, man. Anything worth having is worth waiting for.
Yes.
Just because it's easy don't mean it's good.
Right.
And just because it's good don't mean it's easy.
That's right.
We have got to wait. I don't think it was easy for Jesus to get up on that cross and suffer the way he did. But he did it anyway. And he was buried anyway. And he got up anyway. Wonder how long he had to wait before the first person said, forgive me, Lord. But he did it knowing, hey, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I'm not waiting to see. I'm going to go through with it, and then I'll find out. Wait on the Lord this morning. I promise you, he will never, ever, ever disappoint you. Amen? Now stand with me. If you're watching us by media today, man, wait on the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31 that if we wait on the Lord, he'll renew our strength. We'll mount up with wings like eagles. That we'll run and not get weary. That we'll walk and not get faint. But we got to wait on him. He's our strength. He's our source. And he is an unlimited resource. He never runs out. All we have to do is run to him and say, Lord, here I am waiting. You do exactly what you want to do. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you believe that he rose from the dead and he was crucified on the cross for your sins and he rose in 3 days, then you shall be saved.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Wait on him. He is worth the wait. Be blessed. Thank you.